One of my favorite Christmas stories is The Christmas Carol. So every Advent, I take time to read it. It's not a long story. I always try to find a Sunday evening where I can sit down and watch the movie version, especially the one with George C. Scott, which is my favorite. And I think that it's something good for all of you this Advent season because of the message. I even sometimes give it as a penance for confession. But it's a good point because Charles Dickens describes this Ebenezer Scrooge as a squeezing, wrenching, grasping, scraping, clutching, covetous old sinner. He had really lost the meaning of Christmas. For him, it was all really humbug. And so he says that Christmas is simply a time for paying bills without money, not finding yourself or finding yourself a year older and not an hour richer, paying a day's wage for no work, thereby a poor excuse for picking a man's pocket every 25th of December. Yes, simply bah humbug. He'd become blinded really to the meaning of Christmas. So here's this man who had so much money, but really that had become a false idol. He was oblivious to the needs of those around him, like even his own employee, Bob Cratchit, who had the little crippled son, Tiny Tim. When he was asked for some kind of charitable contribution by the solicitors, he said, "Well, aren't there any workhouses? Aren't there prisons? Isn't the treadmill working? That's what I pay taxes for." Miserable old Scrooge. And he even rejects the invitation of his nephew to come dine with his family on Christmas Day. So, that night, Christmas Eve, he's visited by his deceased partner, Jacob Marley, who had died 7 Christmases before. Jacob Marley appears as this frightening ghost, and he's laden with all these heavy chains to which are attached these ledgers and strong boxes, and so on. And so Jacob Marley says, "I wear the chain I forged in life. I made it link by link, yard by yard. I girded it on of my own free will, and of my own free will I wore it." The chain was not so much things that he had done, but also all those good works he had failed to do. Moreover, he tells Scrooge, "Your chain was this long 7 years ago, and you have worked on it since then. It's a ponderous kind of chain." Well, Scrooge replies, "But Jacob, you are a man of good business." And Marley cried out, "Mankind was my business. The common welfare was my business. Charity, mercy, forbearance, and benevolence were all my business." And with that, Jacob Marley says to his old friend Scrooge, "I have come for your redemption." With that, he tells that Scrooge is going to have these visits by 3 spirits: the ghost of Christmas past, Christmas present, and Christmas yet to come. So Scrooge will go on this nocturnal journey. He revisits the past times, and he sees many happy times, but also some very painful, sad times. He sees how real love had given way to that idolatry, especially that love for money. He'd seen how he'd become so oblivious to the needs around him. The worst, though, was the very end, when the ghost of Christmas yet to come takes him to the graveyard. There Scrooge sees his own grave, forgotten. And worse yet, so many people have forgotten him. Some even think of him in the worst terms. And so Scrooge repents. And with that, he moves on with life. Well, my brothers and sisters, I bring this up because on this second Sunday of Advent, we don't have Jacob Marley standing before us. We have St. John the Baptist. St. John the Baptist is that prophet who was prepared to prepare the way for the Messiah. John the Baptist is in the desert because It's not a time for being comfortable for the coming of the Messiah. John the Baptist isn't there to make people comfortable. In the desert, you can't be distracted by all these things that surround us in life. If you're in the desert, you have to get down to basics. You have to really think about survival. He must have been a very frightening figure, wearing this camel's hair garment with a leather belt. His message is one of striking point to the heart, and that is, repent, reform your lives. Now, why this? Here we are in Advent, we're preparing for Christmas. Where's the story of happy little baby Jesus being born in Bethlehem? Where's the Christmas tree and the twinkly lights and so on? We cannot be distracted by the charm of Christmas and lose sight of what we're really preparing for. Yes, not to be distracted by the charm of Christmas. After all, it's charming to think about little baby Jesus and picture him in that manger scene with a little Christmas tree and lights and so on. It's wonderful and charming to pretend to hold baby Jesus. But what about standing at the foot of the cross? That's what it's all about. And that's why we have this gospel during Advent. Christ came, but he didn't come to charm us. He came to give us life. He came to die on that cross, to reconcile sinners back to the Heavenly Father. He came to give us new life. Yes, life now, beginning with our baptism. He came to reveal the truth of God so that we would have that path of life. He came to give us the hope of everlasting life. Yes, Christ came as that light to dispel darkness. So my brothers and sisters, we can't just be charming this Christmas and pretend, oh, let's hold baby Jesus, although that's well, good, and comfortable. But rather, we have to stand at the foot of the cross. Christ will come again. There will be judgment. So the message then of Advent's the same. Repent and reform. The first part is to repent. This means you and I have to seriously pause and look at our lives. Not to get distracted by all the stuff surrounding Christmas, but get down to looking in our souls. To go into that desert and think about our souls. This requires a good examination of conscience. I would suggest sometime go to page 1005 in our little missals here. We'll find a very good examination of conscience. You can do this after Mass or stop by sometime this week, but go through it. Because after all, I could say, well, follow the Ten Commandments. Well, we can't just become comfortable and say, well, Fifth Commandment, thou shalt not kill, so I haven't murdered anybody, I'm fine. What about our tongue? Have we murdered anybody with our tongue? Have we cut them to shreds with our tongue? Have we used those bad words? Have we taken God's name in vain even with our tongue? Or, thou shalt not commit adultery. Well, hopefully none of us here commit physical adultery, but is there that spiritual adultery? Looking at those bad things so accessible on the internet, so accessible not just by a computer but a cell phone. We have to get down to basics and really look fully in our soul. With that, go to confession. Repent. Receive absolution. When we hear those words of absolution, it's like having all those chains we drag along in our life cut loose. How wonderful that is. Do we want to keep on dragging the same chains, the junk of our life, all those sins, the past failures, the things we haven't done that we should have done, onward? No. We want to be free once again. But while we repent, we also need to reform. That means to really change our lives. Think of the example in our gospel. We have the Pharisees coming. We all know Jesus, throughout the gospels, confronts the Pharisees. They were the rule followers, so they checked off all the boxes and so on. But they didn't live the real spirit. And they really didn't want to change their lives. They thought they were holy. And what does John say? You brood of vipers. There's the Sadducees. And the Sadducees confront our Lord throughout the gospel. They were all into the rituals of Judaism. But the Sadducees, for some strange reason, did not believe in heaven or angels or life after death and so on. Well, in the same way, we have sort of a modern-day Sadducee idea, too, where it is, okay, I follow, do all the rituals, but I live the rest of my life like an atheist, not mindful of God. And I have this spiritual narcotic that I take that says, no matter what I do, when I die, I'll go to heaven. Not really thinking about how to get to heaven. What does John say to them? You brood of vipers. So my brothers and sisters, not only do we have to repent, we have to reform. So if there is that problem that we struggle with, that weakness, that temptation, that sin, we need to work on it. Only one. We can't become holy overnight. We can start trying to be, but take one. So is it the bad language? Or is it the idle tongue? Is it looking at things that we shouldn't be looking at? Whatever it is, that's the one sin, the one weakness, the vice that we need to conquer and reform our lives. Because in the end, we want to find a reconciliation with our Lord. We don't want to be estranged, but to be reconciled. We want to find peace. In our first passage from Isaiah, he presents this very idyllic scenario where we have, he says, the wolf shall be the guest of the lamb, the leopard lie down with the kid, the calf and the young lion shall browse together, the little child will guide them, and so on. It must have been like the Garden of Eden before sin came along. Everyone had peace among themselves. Then sin came. Well, my brothers and sisters, just think, if we really repent and we reform our lives this Advent, won't we know some peace in our own heart? Won't there be a better peace in our families, in your marriages? Won't there be better peace in our community? Just think, if we really lived the message of Isaiah and John the Baptist, if we really stood at the foot of the cross, wouldn't we really know then the full meaning of Christmas and know that peace in our heart? Yes, the day will come when Christ will come again. But now is the time to heed the message. Hopefully this Christmas we'll be able to say, as Scrooge did that Christmas morning, I was not the man that I was. I will not be the man I must have been. I will honor Christmas in my heart and try to keep it all the year. Now is the time to go into the wilderness, to heed the cry of John the Baptist, to repent and reform, because then we'll know what it is to find the peace and joy that only Christ can give this Christmas, as He did that first Christmas. May God bless you.